Hello, and welcome to Journeys in Faith with Ann DeSantis here on this Friday evening. And as I always do, I have an amazing guest for all of you this evening. I have Ed Josa. He is an author, a speaker, a Catholic evangelist, and a lot more than that, too. And he has written a couple wonderful books, and more than that. One is The Mystic Next Door, and then there's The Mystic Next Door, The Triumph of the Cross. His website is thepresenceofgodencounters.com. And Ed, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so honored to have you on the program.
Oh, Ann, it's my pleasure to be here. I'm excited to get to speak with you today.
That's right. We have so much to talk about. I have to say, too, he's got a wonderful daily email that I receive, and he can tell us about that, too. But before we get into all of the wonderful things that he's doing, he has a story to tell. And I'm going to hand it over to him so he can tell you how he became so on fire for his faith and also a writer, author, and evangelist.
Well, thank you, Ann. I appreciate that. And a surprise. I didn't know that you subscribed to my daily email. That's such wonderful news. Thank you. But who was I is probably a better question. Usually the Lord gives a pretty good story to those that have made it, you know, a certain distance in their faith journey. Who was I? I was a box checker. I was doing the minimal. I'd always look and see what's the minimum that I had to do to be a Catholic. I was, in my mind, I thought I was a pretty good guy. By the world standards, that's what I judged myself by, the guy next to me comparatively. Yeah, I was a pretty good guy. I wasn't killing or stealing. I wasn't doing all those really bad things. And yeah, sure, we miss mass sometimes, but it was always for something important, right? You know, tickets to our favorite sport or whatever. And what was the shortest mass? What was the quickest mass? What, you know, all of those things. And I was just going along lukewarm in my faith, fat, dumb, and happy. And I literally was the guy building bigger barns to store my goods. I was an airline pilot. We lived a very affluent life. We had everything we needed. We had everything we wanted. We had things we didn't need. We had things we didn't want. And literally the weekend before that, this crash that I was in, this automobile accident, I built a bigger barn to store my goods. And then I was in a head-on auto collision, hit by a driver under the influence of marijuana. But thank God I had two of my kids in the car and a neighbor boy, and miraculously there were 9 people involved in this horrendous wreck, 3-car accident. And I was the only one that didn't walk away. So unbelievable. The injuries I sustained were, they still to this day have, there's no excuse for my being here. Several of the injuries I have are life ending, and yet I'm still here. And through all of that, I went from, that morning, if you would have asked me, are you going to heaven? I would have said, of course I am. I'm Catholic. I believe in Jesus. You know, I'm a pretty good guy, as we said, compared to the world. And then I found out that it isn't by the world standards that we're judged. And it isn't even that God judges us. I went to a place where God allowed me to see who I was in truth with a capital T, and we talk about this. Everybody has their own truth. My truth is this. My truth is that. Pilate asked, what is truth? And I got to see myself in truth, the one and only. And I realized how lacking I was. I went to a place of eternal regret and remorse. I regretted every sin that I ever committed. I felt their combined weight crushing me as if I was on the bottom of an ocean. Hopelessness, and I was separated from God. I realized that God had held my soul, and a lot of these visions that I see, he made it well known that it didn't just apply to me, but applies evenly to everyone. God holds each and every one of our souls from the moment of conception until we meet him again after this life, and he never lets go. And I went to a place where he let go, and it, to say, was horrifying and terrifying. There are just no words to describe this other world and how terrifying it really was to lose God. I eventually would go through a whole long series of me trying to escape that place on my own. And given this incredible knowledge of the world that is beyond comprehension. And it wasn't until I admitted to myself that there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do to free myself. And then I was freed. In the second book, I write about some visions later that came about that explained that basically at that time, what I was going through, what it is to be washed clean in the blood of Christ. And that's a whole nother story. That's another big story. But that we talk about that in the second book. And then the next day, you know, I'm in the hospital and I get taken and transported to peer at hell from above, looking at it at the bottom of this giant cavern, this off of the edge of a cliff, and the despair and hopelessness and the terror and fear that was in that place. And I eventually pray for the first time, and I ask Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to me. And then I realize we have a conversation. I have the conversation with Jesus where I talk about my injuries and how similar they were to his injuries in the Passion. You know, and I never realized how much he suffered for me, for each and every one of us. He didn't suffer for us collectively. He suffered for us as if we were the only one. He did it all for you, for me, individually. And I realized that he allowed me to have a taste of his Passion, just a small sampling of what he felt, just what I could handle. And then he let me see the Holy Spirit, and I lived in the presence, in eternity, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, bathed in the light, the love, the power, the mercy of the Most Holy Trinity, all coming from the Holy Spirit. I understood the truths of our faith, the things that we called mysteries. He had elevated my intellect to a point to where I understood them and understood how simple they were. I understood that the Catholic truth, everything I kept saying was, it's all correct. It's all correct. Everything that the Catholic Church teaches was exactly what I was seeing and knowing. When I came out of it, I doubted the story for a year. I tried to debunk it. I tried every way possible to prove it didn't happen, until I eventually talked to my priest and told him the story, and he handed me a book, The Interior Castle by St. Teresa of Avila, told me he thought I should read it. He said, you just experienced a prayer of union. St. Teresa writes about it, and it really did. It changed me. I realized that all of this was real. It was literally, I was reading her book, and it was as if she was speaking out of my own mouth. She was telling a story exactly as I saw it. And so afterwards, I realized that we live in a world where everybody has their truth. Everybody lives by the world standard. And everybody is going to go to a place where they're judged by God's standard. And so I realized that this place of eternal regret and remorse that I went to, I wish that no one will ever go there. I want people to change their lives now, to repent, to change, to do things differently, so that they don't have to make amends and atonement for the sins of this world. I want them to stop their sins now and turn to the Lord and realize what he did for you, not for us, for you, one-on-one. And so I tour the country now, and I give my talk away, and I give my books away, and I pray that it touches souls. And, you know, full-length videos of the talk and ability to get the book, it's all on that website that you mentioned earlier, Anne. But that's what I do now. I was left permanently disabled. Again, the blessings that were in this. I mean, God doesn't place these tragedies in our life, but in each and every tragedy, each and every turmoil, he places untold blessings. What a blessing it is to be disabled so that I have the time to be like Lazarus, the poor man, and the rich man, right? I lived both of those lives. Only in this story, God sends me back to tell and to warn my brothers that it's not too late. There's time to repent. There's time to change. There's time to stop being a box checker, to stop being lukewarm, and to become alive and on fire for the Lord. So that's the 1 hour and 15 minute versions crammed down into what did we do? 5 or 10 minutes, maybe.
Wow. That was such a beautiful story. Of course, you and I had a call before meeting here on the video, so I was aware of some of your story, but every time you hear someone's story, you learn a little bit new,
yeah.
Right? You learn a little bit more about them. Mm-hmm. I am so grateful that God interjected himself into your life to that extent that you are just at the mercy of him and wanting to do his will. And you want other people to love him and you want other people to serve him. And like you said, you care about their salvation and where they're going to go at the end of their lives. And yeah. I think that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I don't know, I'm sure you agree with this, but eternity starts now, right? Yeah. Eternity doesn't begin the minute that you die or when you're on your deathbed. It starts right
moment.
Now. It's happening right this second.
Yeah, it started the moment that he placed your soul into your body at that moment of conception. The Lord has never let you go because he wants you back. And it's us through our life, how we live, that we actually push that hand away. We let sin build on our soul, and then it covers it, and it separates his touch from us. And so, you know, that's the thing now, as I realize I'm blessed that I can see sin in a way that I never saw it before. I can see it coming. And look, I'll tell your listeners, I'm not a saint. And the thing that's most maddening is that I still sin. The difference now is that I really, I try to avoid it. And, you know, that's one of the things in the act of contrition. To avoid the near occasion of sin. You know, it's so important to be cognizant. The enemy is lurking all around us, constantly trying to lead us astray, right? And to pick our will over the Lord's. And so we're unaware of the spiritual battle. And that's probably the thing that I try to bring to most people is that the spiritual battle, it begins at the moment of reason and it doesn't end. You know, and
that's such good advice, really is. I want to invite people just before we take the break, go to that website. And the website again is presenceofgodencounters.com and learn about Ed Jozsa. His last name, it's up on the screen there, but Jozsa. And so we do have to take a really short break. I mean, very short, just one commercial. So we'll be back in just a few. Thank you.
Hello, this is Ann DeSantis. I'm an author and speaker with the Catholic Speakers Organization. To learn about my work and ministry, or to book an event, visit the speaking events page at anndesantis.com. Thank you.
Okay, promise that was short.
Very short.
And, you know, we want to continue with your story and also tell us more, too, about your writing, because obviously, you know, the path that you're on with your books and also your speaking, you want to convey that message. But the vehicle that God is using to do that is through your authorship and through your events that people can book. And you, like you said, you're doing it for free. People yeah. take care of you through the goodness of their hearts in terms of when you do those talks and the donations yeah. and things like that. So somebody might be watching and thinking, oh, goodness, I'd love for him to come to my archdiocese yeah. or diocese or parish or organization. So tell us how you got involved in your writing and also what would be those steps that people would take to get you booked?
Yeah, so like the writing... I always tell people, if you read something from me and it was good, it doesn't come from me. A lot of times, like my daily inspiration that Anne, you mentioned that you sign up for, a lot of times I wake up and it's in my head already. The story, what I'm going to write about is in my head. And then I do a little morning routine. I say my morning prayers. I read the daily readings if I can't make it to Mass. And inevitably, one of the readings is what this little message was about. And so I published that reading, and then I published the commentary that was given to me on it. And again, in the book and in the story, I talk about that when I was with the presence of the Holy Spirit, he elevated my intellect where I knew and understood everything of God. Everything that God knew, I knew. Some have said, well, that's technically a definition of the beatific vision. And so maybe he was given, I was given that. And when I came back, I didn't think any of it remained. But now, you know, the theology that I write about and speak about, I never attended any kind of theology courses. And it just, it's like in me, it's ingrained. I know it. And scripture speaks to me. And so I didn't know what to do with it. So I made a website. I started putting this daily inspiration out. And then by word of mouth, people would hear about my story. I would give my books away. I keep them in my truck. I hand them out to people. The Holy Spirit will speak. I'll walk by somebody in a parking lot, and I'll hear the voice say, give them a book. You know, and you go back and you give them a book. And then a week later, a month later, a year later, that person will reach out to me through my email and say, I finally read your book. It was exactly what I needed. You know, it's amazing. It just really is. And through that, then people started booking me for talks, and I would tell the story of my experience. And it's different every time. On my website, there's probably 12 or 14 versions of the story, and each and every one of them is different because I depend heavily on the Holy Spirit to give me the words. I start talking, and then I sit back and I listen like I'm in the audience, and I usually can't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. So you can book through my website. You can book me to come. There's a way to contact me. And I'm kind of a one-man show, so I do my best. And again, like I was left permanently disabled, and travel is hard on me. So I've had this sort of, I never say no, but it's sort of running me into the ground. I've been sick a lot, and I have a lot of physical problems. And so I'm going to start trying to do no more than 4 events a month. But you have to reach out to me, and I will come. I've been to Connecticut and Florida and Ohio, Kentucky, you know, Illinois, all over the Midwest, all over the East Coast, as far as Florida. I travel. Everything I do comes out of mine and my family's savings and what little we have. And sometimes organizations are able to help me recoup the costs, and sometimes they aren't. But I use the we just had this as a reading where Jesus sent the apostles out, take nothing with you, go 2 by 2, right? And spread his message. And so I take it as that these stories that I've written, I swear they don't come from me. I'm not a writer, but they're here. And so if they didn't come from me, who am I to charge for them? You can reach out on my website to get the books, and I have a really novel idea. You get to pick what you pay for them. I cover all the postage, and you can pick nothing, or you can pick something, and you can choose to donate, or you can choose to get the book for free, the books for free. And I do the same thing with the talk. You can choose to give me something, or you can choose to give me nothing. I'll come and do the talk. So that's it. It's not, it's probably not the most lucrative business plan, but it's helping me to reach hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, through technology, like we're doing right now, I've spoken in Canada. There's a great video on LifeSite News. I've spoken in India and Australia and France. And there, you know, it's amazing to get to tell the story around the world. So, you know, in a lot of cases, churches will say, look, we can't afford to put you up or to help you get here in any way, and it's across the country. Could we do a YouTube or a Zoom talk or whatever? You know, I'm not a tech guy, so I'm amazed, Dan, that you can do this stuff. As long as they can set it up, I can do it. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I would love to hear from some of your listeners. I'd love for them to subscribe. That, you know, it's free. Pick up the daily inspiration. It's if you hear a good one, you know that it's coming from God, because I'm really like the village idiot.
So. No. Here are the books again. So this one is The Mystic Next Door, and you can see a picture of the car. Look at that.
Yeah.
For people who just want to find out more about how God really saved you from death.
Oh, without a doubt.
To do this. And the other one is The Mystic Next Door, The Triumph of the Cross.
Yeah. And so, and that's the first printing of that book. And in my mind, I thought it was all going to look perfect of it being so similar to the other book. And it really is. too similar. So in the next round of printing, I'm working right now and changing the cover to make the Triumph of the Cross and the big letters in the Mystic next door little, and we've changed it around a little bit so it's not so confusing. But yeah, those are two different books, and I get that a lot when I do the talks, because I'll bring hundreds of books to me with my talks, and people will say, oh, I have your book, and no, they'll hold up one and not the other, and I'm like, no, they're two. You need to have both of them. So bad marketing on my part, that's all part of, I think, God helping to keep me humble. I tend to sometimes think I know what I'm doing, and I realize that I just need to let him take care of things, and it works much better. And really, in all of my life, that letting him have it, surrendering to him, man, it's just changed the way. Life is so much smoother now, just so much smoother than trying to do it my way.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that people who are watching this video are becoming interested, as they should, because we all need good role models. We all need good mentors, which is, I think, what you are too, for other people when they can imitate your virtue. Somebody might be watching right now who's going through some tough times, someone who's discouraged, and someone who would like to love God more and also kind of do what you're doing, right? Just get out there and evangelize and do the work that he has. Would you have any words of advice for them?
Yeah. So I suffer every day. And a lot about suffering is our attitude and how we look at it. You know, we suffer now. And when you tend to pull into yourself and think, woe is me, why is this happening to me, how unfair this is, you know, I find that I've been blessed to be able to link all of my suffering to the crucifixion. Why Jesus? He was perfect. Why did they torture him? I think about the suffering of his mother. She knew that he was God, and yet they were torturing him. When we start linking our suffering and we offer it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't even understand how this works, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to suffer for you today. I'm going to suffer as if I'm picking up your cross, not mine. See, because Christ didn't carry his cross. He didn't have one. His cross was ours, and he freely and willingly picked it up. And so we have the opportunity in our suffering to be like Simon of Cyrene, to go to him, to pick up that cross, carry it with joy and happiness. And you know, the thing is, once you start doing that, once you start suffering for him, it's amazing. It's better than any drug. It's better than any relief that you will get. You'll realize that when you're suffering for someone for a good reason, it just doesn't seem to hurt as bad, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So the thing is, in that suffering, we call that the desert. And sometimes the Lord calls us in the desert because he wants to be alone with us. And I can think of nothing better than being alone with the one that I love more than anything. Just to be alone with him in the desert, to listen, to feel, to experience him. And you know, St. Padre Pio would say, blessing is a great gift for those who choose to use it wisely. Oh, how true that is. What a gift suffering is, if we link it to the Lord, to be like him, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to be as Christians, to be like Christ. Man, if we could suffer like Christ suffered, suffer for others in our, you know, through our suffering, what a blessing, what a gift, what an opportunity. I mean, just don't lose that opportunity, use it.
Yeah, exactly. I know that you have so much wisdom. That's why I think people should subscribe to that email.
Thanks.
And I'm going to keep repeating that website because, like you said, people might get confused on this one, but it's presenceofgodencounters.com.
Yeah.
And so, that website and subscribe. Just click on subscribe and you'll be able to read.
Honestly, and will they see my name as I see it on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. So I've made it even an easier step. And since you have that spelling on there, if you just run that word together and make it one, edjoza.com. All just type it like you see that, but don't leave a space. Edjoza.com will take you to that same long website. And you know, the Lord blessed me with a very difficult name to say and spell. And then I made a very hard website name. And so I went into this without much knowledge, and I would have changed some things, but it is what it is. And so how blessed are we? My name is up there on the screen. Just run it together. If you forget what it is, edjoza.com will get you there. And like Ann said, you can subscribe. You can get the books. More importantly, you can see the videos, full-length videos of my talks, and you can share them with others. And share them with the people at your church or at your group. And they're a great way to say, hey, we should have this guy come speak to us.
Yes. And I think it's a real gift that you give to others that you are doing this free of charge. I know the Lord takes care of you either way with those wonderful donations that you get. But yeah. What an invitation. I mean, this is an invitation that people should take up on.
Here's the thing about that is, it's not my gift to them. It's a gift to me.
Yeah,
it's a gift to me to be able to speak and talk about the Lord like this. It really is. You know, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. And so if I'm going to get to speak, somebody has to invite me to come. And so what a gift to be able to go somewhere and tell my story about God and then engage. The nice thing is I always offer a question and answer session afterwards because it's a big, heavy, deep, confusing story. It really is. And so, I learn as much as the audience through this question and answer, the way the Holy Spirit comes and works, the answers that the questions that he poses, the answers he places in my mind. It's absolutely amazing.
There's so much more to learn. Maybe next season I'll have to have you back to give an update.
I would love that. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the second book.
That's right. Now, as we're headed toward the end of the show, we're almost there. I wondered if you wanted to share any other tidbits of prayerful advice or anything that is on your heart for those who are watching and need to know more of God's love in their lives.
One of the really interesting things that has happened in my going around and speaking, I speak at a lot of non-Catholic groups. I speak at Protestant organizations all the time, you know, churches and things like that. Probably a 50-50 mix almost. One, as Catholics, we do a pretty poor job of being Catholics to others. The stories that I hear from our Protestant friends, and when they say, oh, well, you're Catholic and you don't have to read the Bible. And I say, well, that's not true at all. Who told you that? Oh, my Catholic friend told me that they don't have to read the Bible. Listen, learn your faith. We have this catechism. It's printed up. If you don't have one, get one. If you can't afford one, that's great news. The USSB, they have a catechism on their website. You can just always go for free and search it. Number two, start reading the daily readings. If you can't make it to Mass, at least read the daily readings every day, which if you sign up for my podcast, it comes to you. All you have to do is click on a link and it's right there. Or not my podcast, but my daily inspiration. Read the Bible every day. Set aside in your morning or in your evening. I prefer morning because you just should start your day with God. Set a little bit of time, whatever it is. It takes like 10 minutes to do the daily readings. If you can do nothing else but read scripture for 10 minutes every day to start your day, you're going to see that your life changes a little bit. If you can add 5 minutes of prayer to that or 10 minutes of prayer to that, go ahead and do that. I started doing that after my accident because I was wheelchair bound for 3 or 4 months, and I really had nothing to do. I started reading the daily readings, and then I started subscribing for, like, you know, online daily inspirations, and I would read and contemplate and ponder, and it really changed my life. It really, to say that you don't have time to do the daily readings, I will argue you don't have time to not do the daily readings. You want your day to go smoother, do the daily readings, if nothing else.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that website is usccb.org, where you can get the catechism. You can get the daily Mass readings. They even have a wonderful YouTube presence where it's the USCCB Reflections. If you just put that into your search engine in YouTube, you can get these 2-minute videos every day of different speakers, wonderful speakers. So, Ed, I just want to thank you for that resource. I think it's good for people to know. And thank you so much for your faith. Thank you for sharing your faith. Thank you for your prayers for other people every day. And thank you for keep going, because that's a tough thing sometimes when you feel tired, when you feel like you want to give up because you just don't have energy. I want to thank you for your perseverance. You're really a person to look up to in our faith.
well, it's not me. I thank God every day for all those same things because, you know, it was him. It is him. He is a constant. He's a constant in my life. He's the constant driving force. I appreciate your praise, but I believe it needs to go where it's due. It all goes to him.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you.
The Lord has instilled that in you. Well, God bless you, Ed. Remember, Ed Josa, JOZSA.com. And we'll see all of you here on the first and third Friday of every month, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Ann DeSantis YouTube channel. Thank you so much for subscribing. Ed, thank you. And we will see all of you next time. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Bless you all.
Thank you.